Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, my colleague and friend and mentor, defense and foreign affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State. And ahead of us is the King Charles III report. But first, you will recall that several days passed, the president remarking on the news that China was making extravagant remarks about their rare earth and how they were going to withhold it or raise the price of it, or just in general disrupt the supply chain that's critical to the manufacture of all electronics that I know of, from cell phones to EVs to the defense mechanisms necessary to defend the U.S. and other and our allies. Those rare earths come from one place in China. I'm told this. It's an Inner Mongolian mining town that was first developed by the Japanese when they occupied part of China as the so-called Manchukuo state. 1930s. This is the war between Japan and the nationalist government at the time, headed by Chiang Kai-shek. That was grassland. It became an iron mine. Accidentally, they discovered in the 50s or 60s that it had something called rare earths. They're not rare. They're just not developed in the U.S. and Europe and in Ukraine and South America. They're everywhere, but they're just not developed. Extracting them is toxic. Exceedingly toxic. And therefore, the world has been content with letting China produce 70% of all rare earths to come from this one mine in Inner Mongolia, I'm told. 2,200 families, two or three times the leukemia rate of the rest of the country. You understand. Heavily surveilled, lots of cameras, state security runs the outfit. But that is what Xi Jinping said, his government said, was suddenly going to be disrupted. Donald Trump then quoted, very casually, President Xi just had a bad moment. A bad moment. Gregory, I turn to you. Xi is having a lot of bad moments right now. What do we think? What do we suppose? What do we know about his status? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it's clear that Xi is having the worst moments of his life, assuming that he is still alive, and I can explain that. But let's look at the rare earths situation, the bizarre statements made by, or seemingly bizarre statements made by the Chinese government about restricting the export of rare earths from China, and the U.S. president coming back and imposing 100% tariffs on Chinese exports to the United States. All of that is tactical. The reality is that that's negotiating positions. And once the fourth plenum of the 20th Congress takes place on October 20th to 23rd this year in Beijing, then the U.S. And China will, among others, get down to negotiations. They will come up with a compromise on that, and the resumption of the export of the rare earths, processed rare earths, will begin to apply again, and the tariffs on Chinese goods will again start to diminish or go away. The reality is, though, that Beijing is now preoccupied with what is going to happen in the next week or two. Xi Jinping was probably removed formally from power by October the 7th this year. That's when we saw a lot of things beginning to happen. There's a report, and you know, you're aware of it, that the army under General Zhang Yuxie, the vice chairman of the Central Military Commission, seized and eliminated 48 pro Xi members of the Central Committee. Why was that? Why did that happen, and why was it important? It's because at the fourth plenary session coming up later this month, Xi Jinping was reportedly getting to his delegates in the Central Committee to vote to keep him in all of his offices and titles and power. That was unlikely to be able to succeed. But just to be sure, General Zhang basically had 48 members of the 205 total members of the Central Committee rounded up and disappeared. So it was game, set, and match then for Xi. He's run out of options to save his position. He had basically refused to go to the 80th anniversary celebrations of the founding of the North Korean state, which the big celebrations took place on October 10th in Pyongyang. Xi didn't go. We saw that Premier Li Qiang went instead. But Li, firstly, the Communist Party didn't want Xi leaving the country in case he didn't come back. Secondly, Xi didn't want to be away while he was fighting his rear guard battle to save his power. Essentially, Xi was told that all of his key members in the Central Committee, including some senior national security figures, had been disappeared, and he is said to have had a stroke. His allegedly his third stroke, and this time a major one, as a result of hearing that all was lost, and he was reported to have been taken to hospital in serious condition. Now, we don't even know whether the first couple of strokes which Xi was alleged to have had actually occurred, because, you know, as I've been writing in this morning, there are at least three types of strokes in cases such as this. There's the medical and clinically observable natural brain strokes. Then there are the politically ordered brain strokes, in other words, assassinations. And then there are the theatrical brain strokes, in other words, strokes which are announced or revealed but didn't actually happen but enabled you to make certain decisions as a result. Now, Xi is either incapacitated in hospital, or he's being sequestered, or he is literally unable to move. But we're now awaiting the Communist Party's decisions on at the fourth plenum. Why they don't want Xi to just go or be killed or be seen to be the subject of a coup d'etat is because the Communist Party knows that it has to look like it's still in control of mainland China and that it's business as usual and that the party, not Xi Jinping, is still in control. So essentially, that's what's happening. We've got Premier Li Qiang going around doing all of these things like the Pyongyang appearance and another one at the end of the month in South Korea where the APEC conference is taking place. But Xi is supposed to be going to be announcing that he would be retiring on age and health counts from his power positions, General Secretary of the Communist Party and Chairman of the Central Military Commission and so on, and he would only remain as President of the People's Republic of China, a position which has absolutely zero power. He may or may not make it that far, but that was the desire of the elders of the CCP. They wanted him to bow out gracefully, stay as President of the country until February or March next year and then retire. He may not make it that far. The party could handle that. They could just say that he had a stroke and died, and therefore, you know, they'll bring out the candidate for the new general secretary, which is Wang Yang, and he was a retired senior official who's 70 years old, but he could take over for a period of time. But that's all insignificant because the real power now in mainland China is General Zhang Yuxie. He's the one who literally brought about the collapse of Xi Jinping and all of the Xi Jinping acolytes who were in the People's Liberation Army and elsewhere. So Zhang is the key figure, and he'll hold things together. Well, he's the only one who can at this stage hold things together after the plenum. And what I think the United States wants is for General Zhang to retain that power, the party to appear as though it's in control, so that if nothing else, the U.S. will support the maintenance of that mine in Inner Mongolia and the delivery of the products to seaports so that they can be on ship to the United States and Europe and the like. So it's a very delicate stage right now, but the question is how long can it stay intact? Can General Zhang become the new military leader, if you like, of the country, the new generalissimo, or will the country break apart? Will the party stay intact? Whatever happens, the U.S. is looking to keep that conduit going for as long as possible to get those rare earths processed and out of the country until the U.S. can develop its own processing capabilities and mining capabilities for those rare earths. And Australia has many of them. For example, the U.S. has a lot of them. It's going to be a matter of how the West copes with this. Can they, as you and I discussed earlier, can they use robotics to lessen the health risks of mining rare earths? We know that the United States and Australia and the other places that have plenty of these materials are of a NIMBY variety of electorate, not in my backyard. Nobody wants an oil refinery in their neighborhood. Nobody wants a dangerous mine, whether it's uranium or rare earths or lithium or whatever. They just want to keep that at arm's length. So the politics are going to be critical in the United States, as well as the transition from dependence on mainland Chinese deposits.
There may be something to then a headline that ran this morning in the Financial Times. I just add, there's no explaining it other than something's odd. It's Scott Bessent, who is very diplomatic, has been for quite some time, saying they just want to pull everybody down with them, saying that Beijing's export controls are a sign of how weak their economy is. Very intemperate, undiplomatic language. But it's associated with Premier Li. We're told now by the FT that Premier Li made wild demands in the negotiations over the summer that we didn't hear about, including threatening about the rare earths. In other words, they've had this in mind for some time. And it's odd. All this adds up to turmoil in the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party, which is consistent with your reporting. I mention all that, Gregory, because we don't know. It's non-transparent. But when there's this also, and help me here. Why did the FT run this story on the front page? Russia accuses Mikhail Khodorkovsky of plotting a coup. And Khodorkovsky answers by saying they're just desperate. What the FT's analysis is, the diaspora of Russian executives and intellectuals is opposed to Putin and looking to change leadership or change direction. I just mentioned, just because these are two allies, and Xi and Putin have been allies together, and I'm wondering if we're getting a Russian version of what you're hearing about from China. Is that possible?
It's possible. I think we see in the diasporas of all these corrupt governments, whether it's Ethiopia or China or the like, the diaspora wants to fashion itself as being instrumental in regime change. I don't think that Khodorkovsky or the Russian expatriates are in a position to do it. But we do understand the desperation which is underway in Beijing, which, by the way, is not a real friend of Moscow anyway. And I think right now what they're doing in Beijing is studying the speech which Nikita Khrushchev gave on February the 24th in 1956 against Stalin. It was the four-hour speech denouncing the cult of the individual and its harmful consequences. And basically, it was designed to put all the blame on Stalin so that the party could move forward, the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. And I bet there's a version of this speech getting ready now. And by the way, that was the 20th Party Congress of the CPSU in 1956 in Moscow. This is the 20th Party Congress, fourth plenum of the Communist Party of China in Beijing this month. So the psychological connections are really spooking the Chinese.
And the markets are in turmoil. There is that fact. Well, King Charles Report. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.